Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
So, while these guys get set up behind me, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the team and then a little bit about the trip before I have them share their viewpoint and what happened for them. They were surprisingly resilient, and I think it may have surprised them at how resilient they were. We had to pivot a lot. I said, you need to be flexible, not just flexible, you need to be fluid. You need to be able to just kind of go, and Delene and I one day went from shoveling gravel to doing women's ministry because some ladies showed up that just had miscommunicated something, and they showed up for the women's meeting, the cooking class, and had these expectations, and they walk a little ways. So we just pivoted, washed our faces, and then off we went, and we shared a testimony and did some crafts and just laid a foundation for these ladies who came back the next day for the actual women's event. And then I handed off gravel shoveling to a couple of the guys, which I was fine with. That was good. That was a good pivot. That was good movement. They all had fantastic attitudes all around. I never once heard a bad attitude. If they had a bad attitude, it was in the privacy of their own rooms. So yeah, who knows? It was hard. We didn't have a lot of downtime. But this team just adapted really to every situation and really supported each other. It was beautiful. We had a team that was ranged in age from 12 to 67. And it was a lot of fun. I've done only teen trips up until a few years ago, and I did a few adult trips. And having teenagers and young adults makes the trips really fun. Not too many teenagers. we had the perfect amount. And we had a lot of fun, and everybody supported each other. It was awesome. One thing I saw this team really grow in was prayer. We went from the very beginning awkwardly praying out loud together, where some of us, wanted to write down our prayers before we prayed them. It was really scary, and, there's a lot of silent moments. We need somebody to pray for Hainer and Nelsie's car. I will, right away, no hesitation. It was beautiful to see. And they were ready to just jump in and pray whenever we needed prayer. It was beautiful. And I think one of the things that I really loved is that they all shared their testimonies. Some shared them impromptu without notes, which was amazing and amazed me. It was beautiful. One of the things that I really see, because I've done these trips a lot to the same areas with the same people, is I trust them. So I trust the four leaders on the ground, and they trust me, and they trust the people I'm bringing. And so it creates a really good dynamic, and we minister to each other kind of on an ongoing basis while we're there. A miraculous agenda, and I learned what clutching it meant. Yeah, I had to look it up. Anyway, for you, clutching it. I was clutching it. Yeah, last day in the airport, I was clutching it. I had to rebook 10 out of the 12 people at 3 a.m. in the airport with Air Canada because when we showed up, we weren't on the plane. So, yeah, go figure. Yes. So, it was a good time. We all got home in the same day. It was amazing. Here we are. So I'm going to do a quick recap with a few slides that Pastor Brad will zip through. I'm doing this to kind of jog the memory of everybody here because we tend to just remember the monkeys and the dolphins at the very last 2 days and beach day. But it was so much deeper than that. So when we first landed, 4:30 in the morning, we arrived, went to bed, got up a little later. And then we prepped for ministry days that were coming up the next couple days. 3 days were ministry, ministry days 3 days in a row. And because we had never kind of been together in person, we needed a bit of time to kind of put that all together. So we started off that first Saturday with doing ministry at a new church plant. Here, when we think of church plants, we think of we have to be in buildings or maybe in a home. Nope, we just do church on a tarp. So we did church on a tarp. So we did the melodrama. Then I brought a message to the adults on forgiveness. And then the youth and the kids separated and did some ministry with them, shared testimonies with them. And so we did that. That night, we did a church service. Even though it was a Saturday night, we did a church service at our missions compound. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. It was one of the most powerful nights that we all had. So because we were able to bring a projector, for the first time, they were able to have sing songs and have words up on the screen to guide them. And we were singing songs in Spanish, but that the team knew those songs in English. So singing like Waymaker, or I can't remember all the other songs, but it was so powerful. That night, there was a few healings, physical healings, and emotional healings. So there's a picture there of just praying for a lady there. So it was beautiful. The next day, we headed off on our hike to Serba Clay, and that's an indigenous tribe up in the mountains. So the team did about a 2.5-hour hike into the tribe. We had to cross bridges or go through rivers. We went through smaller rivers. Some of them went through the big river. Now, just so you know, I had John, who is fairly big, he's been through that river many times, take them through. But the water was like up to here. So I called an audible, and on the way back, I made them all go over the bridge. The bridge is kind of scary, but it's safer than the river. So they did rivers and bridges and hikes and through the jungle, like literally through the jungle up to this tribe where they have, we went to kind of the area where they have their school, and we fed them food, we did some ministry, we met the pastor there. And this is a tribe that for the last about 30 or 40 years, there's been a family that's been working on translating their language. So their language wasn't even written. So they had to figure out even how to write their language and translate it. So they have the book of John in their language and the book of Philippians in their language. And so we got to minister to them. So the next page is kind of some ministry pictures of playing some games with them. Sometimes you just hold babies. Other times you just hold hands. You can see this little guy. His name's Derek, actually named after Pastor Derek of a church in Coquitlam, who has been to the tribe many times, and it's the pastor's son. And Deline went to high-five him, and then he just held her hand the whole time. It was so sweet. So sometimes, yeah, you just hold hands and you hold babies. It's a beautiful thing. And then the next couple days were work days. So we worked on painting a bridge. We worked on building, repairing a whole portion of the house roof. We ended up working on a drain that wasn't working from the kitchen, so they had to dig out the concrete and fix the drain. And we did a special project because we had extra funds come in, so we built this massive shelf and redid their bathroom. So we did that. Mainly Alex and Taylor did that. So Alex, Taylor, and Guillermo, they were a team. Sensei Guillermo, amazing. Even though Guillermo didn't speak any English, they managed to figure it all out. We did some school ministry, ministry in a school. We did a Canada presentation. Oh, we'll just go to the next one. That's the school. Is that the school? Yeah. We're giving out pancakes and maple syrup. And so we had a really good time with the school. They were very enthusiastic and got to share the message of the little boxer, which the message following that, by the way, is that everybody has giants in their life. But you can overcome that. With God, you can overcome those giants. And that God sees you and he has a plan for your life. Even though you're small or even though you might have like messed up in life, God has a plan and he redeems that. That was our messaging behind that. So we shared that message with those students. If you go back to the other, and we painted a whole, you can go back to the other one. You can see we sent a team to paint the music room, and we had some people with some art skills in our group, and they did a beautiful, beautiful work of art. They did a scripture, and then it's their art and music room, so it made it beautiful. So we did that for the school. So we always want to do something, not just come in with ministry, but we want to come in with something practical for them. Did ministry with women, youth, and kids, a lot of perler beads. We did a cooking class. In the women's ministry, we had four women give their lives to the Lord. Two of them were the indigenous women that had come down from the tribe. And so that was very, very exciting. We spent all day Saturday. That was like 10 days in doing kids ministry and youth ministry and getting a chance to share the gospel there. And then as we left on the following Sunday morning, we all gathered around and prayed for the property, prayed for the family there, Hainer and Nelsie and the family. And off we went to another city on the way to our rest day. They're doing a church plant there. So I want to introduce you to a lady named PETA. So PETA hosted us. She made breakfast for us. And she also cooks for the whole Costa Rica kids team when they're in that area serving. She makes these massive meals. She's just an amazing lady. And so we prayed for her, had breakfast with her, sat at her table, sat at her couch. And she actually needs a new roof for a portion of her house. The termites have just eaten it. It's falling apart. With some funds that were left over from our team, we decided to designate it towards fixing her roof. So we'll let you know if there's a few more dollars needed, but about $370 US will go towards fixing her roof, which is very exciting. We had a couple of rest days after that where we had some close encounters with some dolphins and some monkeys. It was crazy fun. Spent some time at the beach. We did a team debrief and kind of prepping for home, did some encouragement cards for each other. And then we wrapped it up with a baptism in the pool. So Candy got baptized. It was awesome. So with that, I'm going to invite the team up, and we're going to ask them some questions. And so come on up, team. You guys are all here, right? Come up, have a seat. We will zip through our questions here.
Oh, you're switching it up on me.
Being fluid, these guys being fluid. Okay, awesome. Microphone here, microphone there.
Oh, we're starting it off over there.
Sure. Yeah. We're gonna start off with Ava. Alrighty, I got a couple questions for these guys. Okay. So I'm asking you for two highlights, or you can do several, but you have to do it within a minute. Okay, go.
I think my number one highlight was definitely the church service night when it was just really cool watching everybody, like, we were worshiping in Spanish because everybody there speaks Spanish only, but everybody else knew English and, like, knew the songs in English, and it was just really cool just that no matter what language you speak or where you're from, like, you can still all come together and worship God. So I think that was my favorite, my top highlight. And then my second one was also one day we went to do, like, we visited a house to pray for a little girl, but not all of us could go inside and pray over her, so I got to sit outside and play bubbles with her little sister, and I think that was just really special for me. So, yeah.
I should introduce the team. This is Ava, Candy, Delene, Callum, and Alex. My grandson Bo went, my nephew Taylor went, and then four people from Summit Church. So, yeah, Tay-Tay.
Okay.
Candy.
So mine would be going to a local school in Hikatea, where we presented the local children with pancakes and real maple syrup. Their faces were so happy as they enjoyed the treat, games, and the temporary tattoos. They even practiced their greeting to us in English. I'm shaking the second one up a little bit.
Hold the mic close.
So the other one is painting at the local school. Myself and others were assigned to work on the outside of the school and then help the inside when we were done. To be honest, I hadn't touched a brush in years. Hence, I'm married to a painter. The only painting I've done in the last 10 years was paint by number. So the night before, I texted Mark, do you have any pointers? I watched a few videos. I wanted to do a good job. On the day of, we listened to the music, we had some laughs, and we praised and painted and watched a banana car go by.
Banana car. It was a car with bananas piled on the roof.
Hainer was really happy, and Lana, as they translated to us, that we worked very hard today and we did a great job. I was very happy, as I hadn't done a task like that in years, and the other girls did such an amazing job in their art detail in the classroom. So it was a great team effort and a job well done for everybody.
So Callum and I kind of have similar answers. So maybe Callum, you want to speak first and then I'll go off of it. Putting him on the spot.
So what I wrote was going to the tribe and like talking to the kids, even though there were language barriers, it still felt like there was really good ministry down there, and we had it was still really like touching to know like how the kids feel when we go to there. And then my other one was going to the school and like ministering to the kids and like how they were feeling about learning about Canada. And like their amazement of like, oh wow, these guys came from Canada just to tell us what it's like down there. And they also, I loved ministering to them, because ministering to them, like their faces lit up, and I feel like they really loved it.
See you, Lori. Now it's really real. Same for me. I think the hike up to the tribe was super cool.
What footwear did you wear?
My Crocs. Poor choice.
That's not what I told her to wear.
I had my runners in my bag, but I also didn't want to get them dirty, so then I figured, I think I'll be okay with my Crocs. My feet were burning, like fire. They were so sore, but I didn't complain. But my feet did. It was bad. And then another highlight for me was also the school, especially having little Mia beside me. She was so stinking cute and very just full of excitement and cheering the team on. And when she was like speaking Spanish, but I kind of felt like she was standing up and just like cheering so loud. And I thought, okay, she's just saying encore. Like she wants these guys to do it again. So it was just cute seeing how involved they were and just how much fun they had.
It's amazing how deep of connection you can get in very short moments when you're in these countries, and just, I don't know how it happens. It's crazy.
I know Lori already introduced me, but hola, mi nombre es Alex, or hello, my name is Alex. And my two highlights had to be just doing as much ministry as I did for the Lord, being able to do ministry in private behind closed doors, whether it was doing the work, like rebuilding a roof or digging a pit, or going to serve the kids of Costa Rica. And yes, there was a language barrier, but even with that, it was just such an amazing experience to know that these kids know we came all the way from Canada just to tell them God loves you.
Yeah, amen, amen. That's good. Okay, and a second question is, what is something that surprised you about yourself?
Are
you going to say the same one as last year?
Yeah. just how open I am to take advice. I mean, it was like there was a couple times me and Lori had little face-offs about my phone, but other than that, I was really, really open to taking
phone
advice.
Wars.
Yeah, I was really open to taking advice from a lot of people, especially Guillermo, not knowing any words whatsoever, but still being able to communicate with him and get stuff done.
So as a teen, learning to be coachable was a really big lesson.
Learning to be very coachable.
Yeah. Callum, something that surprised you about yourself.
How much energy I had. I did not think I would be able to have that much energy, especially like staying up later and waking up earlier. Like the only times I was actually really tired was like there were 2 days. It was going to Costa Rica and coming back to Canada. Those were the longest 24 hours of my life. Yep.
I was really worried about that because as my son, he would come to me and probably complain about how tired he was or lean on me when I'm not strong enough. And he was great. And my answer was the same. I was very surprised with the amount of energy I had. Late nights, early mornings. I'm not a morning person, so
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and I tired, but we just kept going and
kept a good attitude.
Yep.
As far as I know, anyway.
I would have to say, giving my testimony for the very first time to a group of youth on my very first day in ministry, never doing anything like that before, I just jumped right in. I'm very quiet in group environments and not very comfortable with public speaking. And then I gave my testimony the second time that day to a teen at a home visit without my notes and just talked to her about my story and how Jesus had changed my life. And Alex did it without his notes, so I figured I could do it without my notes.
You did a good job.
She did great. It was amazing.
The biggest thing that like surprised me about myself was I'm a person that gets anxious very quickly or very easily and can be very stressed out, but it's really cool that on missions trips I just had this peace without understanding and God just filled me with like his strength and I wasn't afraid of being across the world from my family or any of those things. Like I just had that peace and there was no fear within me. And so I think that was the biggest thing that surprised me about myself because that's not who I usually am.
Surprise, surprise. Okay. How did you grow?
I mean, I talked about it before, but just becoming more coachable, but also in my faith in general. I mean, I feel like this past month and a half has been just such a blessing for me. Being able to serve the Lord in whatever I do has been a really amazing experience and just developing relationships with people who I wouldn't expect to have relationships with was really amazing.
And we still love each other.
Sure do.
I think I grew in so many different ways, but I feel like trusting in God for like different things was the main one because we would pray for good weather or cars, like a good transportation, a good flight, praying for houses, like, and he would provide and he would help us to get like the help that we needed. And I feel like trusting in him, like me and the whole team, like actually grew by trusting him and like just having faith and not worrying about what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Nailed it. How did you grow?
Good job. I think one way definitely was just as a whole entire team coming together with all of our strengths and weaknesses, but just blending and like ministering in different areas, but just being able to be adaptable and just pivoting where, like here, you're kind of used to just schedules and I need it planned and everything needs to go just so. So I think it was just that growth of, all right, let's do this, let's try, and what's the worst that'll happen? Like, you're loving on people and you're doing God's work, so.
Sometimes my instruction was just spend time with them, sit with them, yeah.
I would have to say I've grown an understanding that sharing about Jesus can happen in small ways through games, arts and crafts, and simple activities and the way I interact with others, showing his love in simple everyday interactions.
I think for me, the biggest way I grew on this trip was my prayer life, because just seeing the way that they pray and they just believe that what they've asked for in prayer, they have received. Like John and Lana, they're praying for this car, they're praying for their house, they're praying for these people, and they just believe that every prayer they've prayed, God hears it and God's going to answer and provide. And so I think that helped me grow in my faith and my prayer life as well, because sometimes I struggle with that, but I'm working on just praying the way they do and just fully believing that whatever you've asked for in prayer, that you've received it, so.
Good. All righty. Of all the people you met, who impacted you the most?
For me, just the other fellow missionaries from all over BC that I met, especially Taylor. He had a very big influence. Being able to talk to someone who is still somewhat similar in age to me, it was really fun, and just how close we got with the work is really, really amazing.
I feel like the people that impacted me the most was John and Lana. I feel like they were the ones that started what I wanted to keep going. Because I feel like the thing that really sparked me happened, I feel like it was 3 years ago. It was about the time for the missions trip. And I looked up on the screen, and I would see like these like different missionaries from all over, and I saw like John and Lana. I'm like, wow, and yeah, and Joshy. But then I'm like, wow, they must really help everyone in Costa Rica. I'm like, what if I could do the same? And I feel like that's what sparked me to go on this missions trip. And I feel like 3 years later, here I am. So yeah.
So not only 3 years later, but 10 years ago, Callum and one of the other members of our team, Timothy, they didn't figure this out till long after we were on the trip. Callum and Timothy did a walk to raise money for Costa Rica kids 10 years ago. And now both of them ended up on the same trip together supporting Costa Rica kids. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, we don't have to clap after each person because we need to get moving here. But go ahead. Who impacted you the most?
John and Lana, for sure. John and I had a really special bond.
Trouble.
I was trouble, and he was trouble. He also called me terrible. So you terrible. And so every time I'd see him, I'd punch him, and then I'd be going like this. Like, you're terrible. So it was just, I felt
really
close.
Ended up with a rock in her backpack, too. Yeah.
And then it was actually John, I think, who planted the rock in my backpack, but I blamed Lucy. And then I told Lucy about it, and then I didn't realize till later that Lucy had a rock in her backpack, too. So it couldn't have been her.
John was trouble. He did put rocks in your backpacks.
And I think another thing, too, just with John and Lana, we were sitting around the table, and they were just telling us how they met and just their whole story of just the very beginning, which was super cool.
Candy, who impacted you the most?
Actually, I'll say Nelsie and Heiner. in the jungles of Hecatea. They host many groups of missionaries to the sanctuary. In doing this, they make all the meals, prepare the bedding, and sometimes waking up really early pending our schedule, which often it changes. They host Saturday night church where Hainer preaches and has some locals stay for dinner afterwards. Nelsie and I connected with our love of gardening. She showed me her herb garden a few doors down and told me what each one was in Spanish. They live in harmony with the people and nature and serve with joy, and that is exactly the true meaning of Pura Vida.
I think for me, like all the missionaries there, like Hainer, Nelsie, John, and Lana, impacted me a lot, but the people that impacted me the most were probably these two girls. Their names were Daniela and Casey, and they are 12 and 13, and I just, like, they've gone through a lot. They had really hard lives, and they were going through a lot at the time, but they still smiled, they still cared, they still showed up, and they were still willing to come somewhere where they're going to hear about God, the Father, and all these things, despite all the things they'd been through. And I think for me, like, being so close in age to them still too, and just seeing all the things they've gone through, like, it broke my heart, but it also was very impactful because I got to talk to them both a lot and share a lot with them, and yeah, they were just very special to me.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so I'm just gonna close. You want me to do the last question? Okay, I'm gonna do one more question and then we'll close. So give me one important thing that God spoke to you about.
Really just with whatever you do, just have God at the center. It may be rough, it may be difficult, especially ministering and just preaching about the Lord, because I know we were talking about this during our debrief. Just spreading the word of God in Canada, it's really hard, but just have God at the center and all things are possible. It was shown on this trip as well with the amount of hiccups we had and how we were able to get around them, and I'm just forever grateful for that.
One important thing that God spoke to you about.
He said this more frequently than other things, but he usually would say, "You're changing and helping Costa Rica kids." And I feel like that made an even deeper growth in my faith. And it probably will impact me to do something similar to this in the future.
I love it. Love it. Okay, Mom.
I'm going to switch it up from what I said in the first service.
There was two things that impacted you.
Two things, yeah.
That God spoke to you about.
Yeah. Well, God actually called Callum to go on the trip, so one of us had to go. So Joe took one for the team, stayed home to work. But it was actually really cool to see him at work.
The young kids, Beau and Callum, were the young ones, and we sometimes just sent them off to do ministry with the kids. Yeah, without us with them and with just some Spanish speakers, and they rocked it. Little Joshy translated for them. It was good. I saw a video later. They did an awesome job.
I did have a dream one night about getting baptized in Costa Rica. The next morning, I woke, got into my car for work, and a song came on the radio, and it was "I Left It in the River." I took that as a message that I need to get baptized. 2 days before the trip ended, I was baptized in a pool by Pastor Lori and Lana. After my baptism, Lori found butterfly wings. And she mentioned, just like the butterfly emergence from chrysalis, baptism is stepping out of the old and rising into new life. I felt like God was showing me this is your new beginning.
The one thing that God really spoke to me about was on our last night in Hecatea, we had a little debrief, and Hainer was praying over me, and he came over to me. Well, when he was praying, he said two things. He said, one, that he kind of God kind of showed him or whatever, like said to him that people can see security in me and in my heart and things like that. And I felt like I was just, I don't know, it was really nice to hear. But the second thing he said to me was that that security is something I need to believe in more and just believe that God has me where he wants me and that I'm secure in his plan and all these things. And being someone who just graduated high school and all these things, I don't necessarily know exactly what's next for me, but like hearing that and knowing like I'm right where God wants me and in the middle of his will for my life, that was like, it was really nice to hear.
Wow, isn't that crazy how that message that she really needed to hear happened in Costa Rica from a stranger? Well, they were really close by then, but from somebody that really didn't know you, but had a word for you. I just think that, and Heiner actually had words for several people. It was pretty cool. I'll close with this. The thing that, one of the things that impacted me the most was a young man that I noticed kind of standing off to the side on the night that we did the church on the second day that we were there. And he was kind of standing off to the side, so I always kind of look for those people. I grabbed Timothy, went over and talked to this young man and heard a little bit of his story. And I asked him kind of where his relationship was with the Lord, and he said that he had a relationship with God. And we prayed for him and the difficult things that he has. His mom and dad aren't around anymore. I don't know the whole story there, but his grandpa goes to the church there. He's from this family's from the tribe up top that we had hiked to, and his name's Mauricio. And so we prayed for Mauricio and for some of the really hard things in his life. But he was so grateful for his grandpa and how his grandpa had brought him to faith and taught him to love the Lord. And so he asks then, when we're done, to borrow a Bible, and he wants a pen and some paper. And he ended up writing a scripture for me and gave it to me. And he did one for Lucy and he did one for Timothy. So he just kind of goes and looks in the Bible. He has to know his Bible to find these scriptures. So he knew Spanish, even though his language is Quebecar, is his language, but he knew Spanish. And he gave me this verse, and it's Revelations 3:20. And I want to share this with you. And it says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." And so I sat and I meditated on this verse, and I wanted to share it with you because this verse actually was, we often think this verse was written for people who haven't come to know the Lord yet, but this verse is actually written to a church, to people who have already come into relationship with God, but have fallen away. They've become just cold, a little bit cold. And so he says, like, look, I stand at the door. I'm knocking. Do you hear it? Listen. Then you don't just walk away and leave the door closed, right? We have a responsibility to listen, to hear that knock. He wants to come in, but we have to open the door. So I want to challenge you today that maybe you need to open the door. Maybe you close the door, he's knocking. Maybe if you haven't heard God for a while, maybe he's been a knocking. And you just need to listen, and then you need to turn and open the door. Because he wants to come in and have a meal with you. He wants to do life. Having a meal is doing life with you. It's not, you know, all the serious stuff, but it's also the things that we have to do every day, like have a meal together. He wants to commune with you. He wants to have deep relationship. He wants to have common relationship with you, where you just do life with him, everything with him. So I want to invite you, church, after Pastor Brad's going to come up and close, but let's just take a moment to pray and to just maybe do some listening. And maybe do a little opening, okay? So, Father, we come before you. We thank you that you sent your son to die for us so we can have friendship with you. And so, as you are knocking and wanting us to open that door, Father, we open our hearts, we open our ears, and we commit to listen. And we commit to take action and open that door, so that we can have a deep, deep friendship with you. Father, we want a closer relationship with you. And so we just recommit and we commit to you to have relationship and friendship with you and let you in. Father, we let you into all parts of our lives, even those parts that we want to maybe hide. We just open up the door to even those parts of our lives and we invite you in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go,